Welcome to Conscious TV with Tom and Ramon. We are doing our first live show tonight, so...
Yay!
Yeah, there we go. We're going to start taking calls here in about 15 minutes. We want to go over a few things first. Want to remind everybody to check out our website. That's conscious-tv.com. Quite a few things going on there. My rice experiment is changing quite significantly, so that's something that you'll want to check out. Let's see. Also, we do this out of our own pockets, and we take donations, so there's a donate tab there also. See, what do you got, Ramon?
Well, first and foremost, Tom, Happy New Year.
Oh, yes, Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. It's the 6th for me and the 5th for you guys on that side of the planet. Well, if you want to listen by cell phone, you can call in to 712-432-0075, access code 652957. One more time, that's 712-432-0075, 652957. You won't be able to talk to us by using this, but you'll be able to go out shopping and still listen to us on the cell phone. And, also want to give big thank yous, and what I'm grateful for is Brooks Agnew Show. Make sure you tune in to him every Sunday, X Square Radio, and also James Gilliland on Saturdays, and Mel Fabregas, yes, the Veritas Show, and Red Ice. That's a great show. Those are shows that you can listen to get some of the truth as well. So what else we got, Tom?
So, well, I think we want to talk about my little bit of, I don't know if I'd call it wisdom, but some things that I've gleaned through the years. Something I learned about sharing information with people when I was first waking up, quote unquote, waking up into this life of spirituality. I had quite a bit of enthusiasm when this stuff started happening. I mean, I was just overjoyed that, wow, this world is amazing. All these things are happening, synchronicities and the contacts that I was having. It was just absolutely amazing. And I was so overjoyed. I wanted to spread the word to everybody. Well, I found that getting out and talking to people had a little bit of a backlash type effect, and I kind of likened it to a wave in like a wave pool. And the information that I was trying to share with people was like the wave, and I would flow it out there, and it would be a nice, smooth, steady wave, and it would be flowing really nice through the pool. But then when it hit that wall, which is, in this analogy, would be that person that I was trying to share with, it would hit that wall, and when that wave hit the wall, it'd splash back, all chaos would come out of it. Well, what I learned out of this analogy, and through the years, it took me a while to learn this, sharing information with people who are not asking questions can be hazardous to your health. The backlash that you get from trying to force something on somebody else can be pretty devastating if you're not prepared for it. So, anyways, it's just a little word of caution I'll give to people, because when you first start waking up, and you start realizing that this, there's so much more to this world and to this life than you ever dreamed, you really want to just share it with everybody. But you have to do it with a little bit of discretion and a little bit of restraint. You have to wait for the questions to be asked. If you got a car with no wheels on it, it's not going to go anywhere. You put wheels on it, it'll start driving. Those wheels are the questions. So once someone has the questions, then you go. Wait until they ask. So.
That kind of reminds me of my a friend of ours, Jenna. which up in Washington at East City, James Gilliland Ranch's place, had said to me, it's a Baba G quote, and it's like watering seeds with a fire hose. You try watering seeds with a fire hose, it's not going to grow. I guarantee you.
That's a good visual for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to talk about was I was listening to Mel's show, and he had a story, and I have one similar. It's basically when I was sixth grade, late 80s, I was about to graduate and go into junior high school, and I had a teacher who said, you and one other person are not going to make it past 18, 19 at the most I give you guys. And that's a very sad thing for a teacher to say to a young student. And, of course, I internalized that and held that with me. And I did, you know, get in trouble in my late teens. But I held that with me, and I was like, no, I'm not going down this path. And, you know, soon I'll be 35 in a couple of weeks. And it goes to show you that you really need to hold on to your dreams and what you want to do and make and create your own life. Don't wait for somebody else to create your life.
And there's so much going on right now as far as the creative process that each of us has, the creative abilities that each of us possess. I mean, every day, just every day out there in the world, I see people that are starting to wake up and starting to notice that, wow, this is not normal. This isn't something that the third dimensional corporate reality has taught me that is real. And just the consciousness this awakening and spreading right now is so dynamic. And that's what brought Ramona and I here. The way Ramona and I got together and started doing this show, that in itself was a miraculous story.
It's one of the easiest things I've ever done in my life.
Yeah. So I was for several weeks before Ramona and I talked, I'd been poking around on the internet, looking at different radio websites and starting to get some pricing and check out how it works and all that stuff. And in the meantime, over on the other side of the world, Ramon's over there doing the same thing. And how in the hell did we get together, Ramon? How did we call each other? I don't remember that part.
I was looking for information, and I kept hitting a wall. I couldn't figure out how to do an internet show. So I gave you a call because I knew you were kind of technical, and you said, hey, I've been thinking about a show. I said, why don't we do it together? And then that's when we contacted Brooks to find out more. And Brooks said, hey, why don't you guys come on BBS? And they contacted Don and Seth. And thanks to all those guys, we had a show in 2 weeks. Was it 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks from the day that we said, let's do it. It was 2 weeks till our first show aired. And in that first 2 weeks, we had our first 6 weeks where the guests lined up. And I mean, and these aren't, you know, just slouches for guests. We had quite a lineup there. We had James Gilliland, Brooks Agnew, John Lamb-Lash,
Miriam Delicato.
Scott Stevens. I'm missing somebody. Who am I missing, Ramon? Anyways, it was just an amazing lineup that for right out of the gates. So. It was like the universe gave us the big green light, and it was time for us to you know, get off of our asses and get out here and start doing something. So this is what we're doing. We're out here putting our 2 cents in and bringing in some people that we think are very appropriate for the changing times that we're going through right now. And
Crystal Clark.
Crystal Clark. God, how can I forget? Sorry, Crystal. I know you're listening. Oh, my God. How did I forget her?
Boo.
Boo. Bad Tom. So, yeah, I was speaking of Crystal. I just got her her second book, the Who Are We Really 102, and just started reading it today. So I'm really excited to read that. should be a good one. So, yeah. So anyways, Ramon and I both have spent quite a few years on this path, this awakening path, and I would have to say that both of our eyes are at least sort of open. And we've delved into so many different areas that we can speak on just about any one of these topics. So we're going to start taking some phone calls in a few minutes. So if you want to call in and ask us some questions, and
number is 888-815-9756 in U.S. and Canada, or you can also call local 530-327-7602. And as Brooke says, if you can get to a tower, call us in, off-world, on-world.
Yeah.
Especially
Speaking of off-world, last Thursday I was over at my girlfriend's house, and she lives way out in the country. And last Thursday up here in Washington State, it was cold. I mean, it was like 9 o'clock at night. I walked out to get some CDs out of my truck. And as soon as I stepped out the door, it was the first clear day we'd had up here in a month. And it was crystal clear, 15 degrees out. We're completely away from all city lights. I could see every star in the sky. I walked out, I'm standing on the porch, I look up, and this shooting star drops right in front of my face. I mean, it just came straight across right where I was looking. And I was like, whoa, that was cool. And I stood out there and I just admired the absolute beauty and majesty of the stars for a couple of minutes. And I totally forgot about the CDs in my truck. So I decided, oh, I gotta go get Pam and bring her out here and check out these stars. So I went in and got Pam, and we walked out there, and I was like, well, Pam, what do you think I should do? Should I call, see if I could call the aliens in? And so I got out there and I said, hey guys, if you're out there and you're listening and watching, why don't you come on in and show us? And I shit you not, right as soon as I got done saying that, a ship came over the horizon. It was going, it was like from my left to right. This thing came over the horizon, and my jaw dropped open, and I was like, holy cow, look at that. And it was a solid white light on the back side of it. And then on the front edge of it, It was lights that were cycling colors. There was like a red and a blue and a green and a yellow, and it was cycling through the colors. And this thing just went across the sky, and it was going way faster than any jet that ever flies through there. And Pam was like, "Oh, Tom, you called him in," and I was like, "Oh, that's cool." But then we sat out there for a while and watching, and we saw airplanes flying, you know, at their normal route over there, and it was undoubtedly not an airplane. And then about a couple hours later, we were in the hot tub, and I caught a flash out of the corner of my eye, and I looked over, and there was a solid white light that was coming across about the almost identical pattern, but this one seemed a lot closer. This one seemed like it couldn't have been more than a mile away. And this one was going really slow. And it seemed like there was a shape around it. It almost, I won't say it was triangular because I couldn't define it that well, but there was a darkness around it that was blocking out the stars as it was passing by. And there was never any strobes of any kind or flashing lights or nothing on this one. It was one solid light that went from horizon to horizon. And it probably took, 4 or 5 minutes to make that full pass by us. And that one was a jaw dropper. I just wish I would have had my camera with me.
Yeah. There's definitely something going on out there. For the people to say that there's nothing going on out there, you're really not looking or even trying. Especially, I doubt anybody who's listening to the show is a debunker. But if you are, you just need to open your eyes and look around. I mean, just head out to East Eddy Ranch, and you'll see things, you know. Or just look up in your own sky. It's quite amazing.
It doesn't take much to look. Most people just have their nose to the ground and are too busy paying attention to other things, the distractions, to pay attention to anything else. So.
Now, Tom, I want to ask you a question. I saw a news, I believe it was Arkansas, where there was like hundreds of these little blackbirds dead on the ground.
And it was no other. There were thousands of them.
Thousands. Oh,
I think their latest tally is 5,000.
Wow, and it's what I find amazing. It's only one species, so I'm wondering, was it a deliberate poison? They're saying no, but I just don't believe what the media says anymore. Or could that have been like maybe HARP? Or I'm guessing right now.
My intuition is telling me something different on this one. Arkansas is one of the largest crystal deposits in the world. And I believe that our planet is alive. I believe our planet is a living entity. Okay, and those crystals, if you consider that those crystals are a part of that planet, and that's such a large deposit, if you realize that the planet is alive, those crystals could be something like her ear or her eye, or in trying to relate this to our human physiology, which doesn't really work very well, but it could be a very, very important and sensitive part to Gaia's or Sophia's body. And in Arkansas, they've been doing quite a bit of drilling through the mantle recently. And I have a feeling that Gaia feels that. And I have I have an intuition that there's something in relation to the drilling and Gaia going, ow, that hurt, and her saying, ow, that hurt, had the effect of killing off 10,000 or 100,000 fish in the river and dropping 5,000 birds right out of the sky. I don't know. That's some pretty bizarre stuff going on there.
Yeah, very bizarre. That kind of reminds me of several things. One of them was I was listening to, for those of you familiar, Little Grandmother. She's part of 12 grandmothers who are trying to change the planet. And I can't remember her real name. One other thing she was mentioning is that we should take our, and I agree with her, we should take our crystals, because crystals, you can program them and program with a feeling of love. You put all your love into it and put them in our bodies of water, especially rivers, because rivers flow out into the ocean, and do reprogramming this crystal. When you put it into that body of water, you reprogram the body of water, because that water comes up, comes down as rain. We drink that water. We eat from that because it feeds our plants, our animals that we eat. So little by little, we can change our planet. I mean, Tom, your rice experiment really has me believing.
Yeah. Consciousness. I mean, intention. If you intend to do something, or if you put the right intention into something, it can have some amazing effects. That rice experiment, I got it from Masayamoto, that Japanese doctor that is doing all these experiments on consciousness. And his claim to fame, his main thing that he got noticed for was doing consciousness experiments on water. And what he would do is they would project emotions into water and flash freeze it. And then they'd put it under a microscope and take a look at the way the crystals formed during the flash freeze under those emotions. There's quite a bit of stuff on material on the internet. I don't have a ready link to refer people to, but something cymatics or something. No, not cymatics. Is it cymatics?
I'm not sure.
But anyways, if you look up Emoto on a water experiment or something like that on YouTube or just a Google browser, you should be able to
check out the movie What the Bleep Do We Know?
Right, right.
Which he's also on there talking about that. I remember the first time I saw that, it really, really struck me to believe that, you know, what I was thinking was actually affecting the world. And of course, at first I thought, oh, that's BS, you know. But, you know, once you open that box, it's just, you can't close it. You can try to close it, but.
It's not a box that should be closed. That's part of who and what we are. The beings that we are so much more than what we realize. We're co-creators of this planet.
Not only of this planet, but of this universe.
Well, let's start here. Let's start small first. let's get home straightened out first. I mean, you're right there, we need to get some focus here and get things right here. We've got so much chaos going on, and we're not going to change everything and change everybody and make everybody wake up. And that's a fruitless ploy to try to wake everybody up. And you don't need to try to wake anybody up. And I like what we just spoke with Jay Widener last night, and his interview will be coming up here soon on the show. But he said something about it's not waking people up. It's helping the ones that are starting to wake up. To gain full consciousness. And that's going to have the most, effect on our planet, is to nurture those ones who are actually starting to awaken and starting to ask the right questions. Show them the answers. You can't give them the answers. You need to show them the way to find the answers.
Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest problems. At least especially for me, I had growing up, was that you start asking questions of the people that claim to have the answers, like, you know, your religions, your churches, and they don't give you an answer. You ask them a question and they give you an answer instead of just saying, I don't know. You know, so they give you an answer, you're like, that's not an answer. And so you start digging and looking more.
Some people will take that answer and go, okay, Pastor so-and-so said, so that's all I have to worry about.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody who's listening to this show is those people. So with that being said, let's go ahead and give out that phone number again.
For U.S. and Canada, we've got 888-815-9756. And we've got 530-327-7602. If anybody wants to call in and ask us questions about anything, give us a ring. Where do we go from here, Ramon?
I wanted to talk about an interview I saw, and I'm going to mispronounce his name, so I'm going to count on you to say it correctly for me. Drunvalo
Melchizedek.
Thank you. I could never pronounce it, and I apologize to him.
I know you have the worst problem with that.
But he's recently had an experience where he went out of body and went to these crystal cities and visited these, he doesn't call them ETs, they're ITs, They're from the planet, and according to him, they've been here for a million years. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because he believes they live in crystal cities. And James, on if you go to his website, eseti.org, you'll see there's a picture there that was taken, and there's this entity which is called Kazekiel, which is a combination of Ezekiel and what was the other name? I'm forgetting the other name. Kasiah, and Ezekiel, and it's a feminine and masculine energy combined. And behind that light that looks like a bright light and wings, there's like a crystal city. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because it's rumored that in Shasta, there's sometimes when you're, not Shasta, Mount Adams, when you're there, you kind of see like a doorway open up. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, oh, these, you know, what are these guys talking about? But seriously, the mountain is 13 miles away. You see this door open up. And it's rumored that that's a crystal city. So I'm bringing this up because we were talking about Arkansas and how the this crystal's underneath. And maybe it's a sign that they were giving, or I just don't know as far as the whole Arkansas thing.
Yeah, that's one. You know, it could be that harp stuff too, or it could be some farmer put fertilizer on his field that the birds got to, and then they pooped in the river and killed 100,000 fish. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of things that it really could be, and it's possible that it's has a completely mundane reason, but there's something that throws a flag up in my mind that says that there was something else going on there. No. But excuse me. So we've got a lot of turmoil going on right now in our the financial districts around the world, and stuff seems to be crumbling. And we've got people. Oh, who's that? Looks like we got Nate online.
Oh yeah.
Hey, go ahead, bring on Nate.
What's up, big man?
Yo, what's up, man? Am I on? Okay.
Hey, you're on. How you doing, Nate?
Hey, Tom.
I guess your ears were ringing.
I'm doing good.
We were talking about you guys.
We're just, doing some stuff around the ranch here, cleaning and preparing to cook and everything. And I just looked online and was like, oh, their show's on. So I just tuned in and just heard you guys say, hey, you know, somebody call in. You're talking about the mountain and everything, so. Jump in here real quick.
And Nate actually lives at Eseti, and he can be a witness to what I'm saying. So either the thousands of people that have been up there are crazy, Nate, or we're actually seeing something. Which one is it?
Well, you know, countless, you know, probably hundreds if not thousands of people are coming up here every season and having their own experiences. And, you know, you were just talking about the portal or the door or, you know, however you want to describe it, opening up on the mountain and, you know, tying that into various legends of crystal cities, you know, supposed to be within Mount Adams or in Mount Shasta or all over the world, basically. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I've seen that portal open up with my own eyes, you know, on a number of occasions. We do have it on video footage somewhere. We were just talking about that too, because I was like, you know, I don't know if that footage is on the internet. We got to make sure that we get it up there.
Yeah, let us know so we can put it on our website.
Yeah. As well. But dude, you may have heard James talk about this kind of recently, because I know he's mentioned it on some recent shows or whatever, but everybody here at the ranch got a really amazing opportunity to go up in a plane, just a two-seater plane.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and all of us get to go up there and check it out and look at it for ourselves. You know, our good friend Brent has a plane. He took us up. And, you know, it was hilarious. I don't need convincing because I've seen this door open up a number of times. We got as close to the mountain as we possibly could, and you know, the areas that we're seeing these portals opening up at, you know, you could just look at them and they're just sheer cliff faces. You know, there's no way that, you know, that's like a skier or a climber hanging out there with a light at night. And that's what we're seeing. So yeah, it's really
there's something else you're missing there.
Opportunity to get to that.
What was it that you guys saw up there that kind of looked like something?
Oh yeah, you know, I've seen the pictures of that. I didn't personally see that when I was flying up around there. But yeah, we did. I'm pretty sure James was the one that took that picture. Of it looks like a little boot statue.
Oh yeah, yeah, I saw that picture.
I haven't seen it yet. I was looking for it.
It's there on James' site.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
So Nate, I know you're a man with a lot of talents, and one of them is farming. And let me tell you, farming is not easy. And I thanks to my summer at East City, I have the utmost respect for farmers now. And if any farmer ever wanted to get into a fight with me, I just said, you know what? You got it. It's not easy, but it's really rewarding just working with the land. Can you tell us more about that, Nate?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I have a huge background in. You know, it was something that was really, it was new for me as well. But yeah, you know, I mean, James has been, doing various experiments with grown food and on the property for a number of years. And so this year I had the opportunity to be a part of that, and we kind of did things a little bit differently than I guess the ranch has done things in the past. And, you know, I'm sure that this season we're going to do things way different than we did them this year, you know. trial and error, we learned a lot. But, yeah, I mean, it's tremendously rewarding to see the food go from a little seed to actually bearing, you know, the fruit or whatever it is, and then to be able to make the meals. I like to cook a lot as well, and so it's super, super rewarding to be making the food that you grew and knowing that it's, you know, been harvested and taken care of and prepared with love and with intention, and that we did it organically aside from the chemtrails that got dumped on top of it. we try and wash everything really good, and you know, so yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's definitely a worthwhile endeavor, I think, for people to put a seed order together, get some seeds, and make some of your own food, dude. Even if you don't have a huge piece of property, if you just have a little thing in your backyard, or even you just grow some stuff in your kitchen, you know.
I put a garden in this year, and this first year garden I've done in probably 20 years, and it was just a little 30 foot by 15 foot little spot, and this was probably the worst year I could have picked as far as the weather was concerned for planting a garden. The growing season on this side of the mountains was absolutely horrible. But I still got quite a bit of stuff out of it. I think that has had to do with the TLC I gave it, you know. So, but next year it'll be better.
Yeah, I recently here started growing mint, parsley, cilantro, because cilantro is so expensive over here. So I started growing it. And the mints are just, they're wild in their growth. And I try to always say good morning to them, good night, good evening, make sure they have the right temperature, right water, because these apartments here in Japan are freezing cold. They don't believe in insulation. But anyway, the plants have really been reacting, and to think that we're the only ones who are conscious is really a bizarre idea, because you can prove that to yourself. Once you start interacting with any kind of life, you always get something back. So
you've heard about that one experiment that one guy did where he hooked up basically the same gear that they use on a lie detector. He hooked it up to a plant to see if he could get any kind of results. And he just, for the life of him, he could not get that plant to react. And he was sitting there trying to figure out how to get it to react. And he thought, all he did was he thought, well, maybe if I set it on fire, it would react. Just that thought, that thing started going, the needle started going crazy on it. So
you're talking about the great documentary to watch. It's called The Secret Life of Plants.
The Secret Life of Plants,
Yes.
Great book, great documentary. Actually, Stevie Wonder did a song for it, too. It's
Just that right there. I mean, it's got to make really people, anybody who's got any kind of common sense has got to look at that and go, wow. So our plants are ESP, at least they got to think that. Our plants have ESP or something, and it's going to happen naturally.
They have consciousness.
Go ahead, Nate.
Can I ask? It's kind of in the same realm of things. I heard you, Tom, you were doing that experiment, the Emoto Rice experiment.
Yes.
How's that coming along?
Well, that's pretty amazing. You take the three equal parts of rice and water in three containers, and every day you say to one glass, you say, thank you, I love you. You say to another glass, you idiot, I hate you, and then you ignore the third one. Mm-hmm. The very, very the second day.
Sounds like my family.
The second day, the love glass had soaked up all the water. The rice had soaked up all the water, and it's still the exact same condition it was from the first day right now. But it soaked up all the water, and the other two glasses hadn't. Now, it took about a week to really start seeing any kind of effects in any of the glasses. But it started, the ignore especially, the ignore glass and the hate glass started getting this scum on the top, and it was bubbling, and it was fermenting or doing its rotting process, whatever. But now it's been going for a little over 30 days now, and the love glass looks identical to the first day. Mm-hmm. The hate glass is looking a little peaked, but it doesn't look nowhere near as bad as the ignored glass. The glass that I've ignored, the water in it is, well, it's separated at one time. For a couple of days, it separated and all the rice was floating on the water. And then all the rice sank to the bottom. And now it's the water on top of it is just this gross yellow gunk on top now. So just that in itself, the three dramatically different results from identical, the control was identical in all three. The only element that was different was the consciousness, the intention I gave the
and
two
the interaction,
glasses.
Yeah.
So that tells you, say somebody has a child, has a kid, and the kid, the one that they say I love you to all the time and gives that positive reinforcing and loving, caring attention to, is going to thrive and do well. The kid that they beat and they yell at all the time and everything is not going to do as well. But if you ignore that kid completely, it's going to do so much worse than if I. It just shows you, any intention or any attention is better than no attention.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to mention about just being telepathic with animals and plants. At the ranch, the I can't believe I forgot his name. Jadar.
Jadar, yeah.
Yeah, there's one. I know I told you guys about this, but there was one time I was sitting down and I wanted to go for a walk around the property. And mm-hmm. I said, let me see if Jadar is telepathic. And I said to Jadar, you know, in my mind, I said to him, I showed him a picture. Let's go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I showed him, like, okay, wait on. Let me finish what I'm doing, then we'll go for a walk. As soon as I was done what I was doing, he got up and started walking towards the area. And I was in shock. And he walked with me the entire property and stood with me the entire time. And I was just amazed. He's like, okay, that could be a coincidence. But Jadar doesn't normally follow me around. I know you, Nate, you have a few stories with him because I know you guys are really cool buds.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny because we were just laughing kind of about the same stuff. A couple of days ago, we went on a walk with Jadar. And, you know, and I was just thinking, man, you know, like how I would have never thought, you know, a couple of years ago when I first met him that he would grow to be such a good friend of mine, you know, because he's pretty standoffish to most males, you know, when they first come to the ranch. You know, he's just protective of the ranch and people that he doesn't know or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, nowadays, you know, I go on walks with him pretty regularly, and he, you know, he's definitely very intelligent and he's very psychic. And you know, you hit the nail on the head when you're talking about showing him a picture. You know, I've definitely found that's one thing that certainly works. You know, like if we're playing fetch, you know, with the frisbee or a ball or whatever like that, you can just show him where it's at in your mind. Like if it's, you know, you tricked him and it's lost and he can't find it. You know, I've had a number of occasions where, you know, we've done stuff like that and he immediately, you know, or pretty immediately will get it.
I guess with animals compared to us, they don't have all that baggage that we do. And that's why they're able to be more telepathic. But we're, you know, we're so stuck on this 3D realm that we don't.
Well, they weren't taught that they can't be.
Kind
of
like the
I mean, or that's just more of a natural mode of direct perception. I think that you know, some beings are just naturally, you know, a little bit more in tuned with. Although I would say that I think that all of us, you know, totally have that capacity and capability. Some of us are some people are more, you know, gifted at recognizing it or are gifted at just naturally utilizing it. You know, we all kind of have our tendencies towards different areas of sensitivity or extended sensitivity, if you will. And it's a matter of, you know, of being aware and being open to practicing it or utilizing it. You know, I'm sure everybody has experiences from when you were a kid where you experienced something like that. And, you know, a lot of times we just kind of block those experiences out as we get older or whatever and forget about it.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of a string instrument when it's out of tune. It doesn't play correctly, so you don't hear the right music.
Uh-huh.
Or you're not hitting the right notes, and I kind of feel that's the way we are. We're an instrument our physical body is an instrument that our soul is trying to play, but it's completely out of tune.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel that our future is looks really bright in those areas. I think once we make this turn, this corner that we're coming up to now, raising children to be aware of what they are truly capable of from day one is going to make this such a different world.
Totally.
I can just imagine what it would be like if I would have been raised without all the no, you can't do that, you can't do that, that's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Attitudes, you know, if I was if person was raised with yes, you can. Yes, you can. It is possible. Anything is possible attitude. Where could we be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've heard stories of, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's now like a multi-billionaire. Not saying that you have to become a multi-billionaire, but he was raised with, his mom used to always tell him, climb to the highest point, or she would drop him off in some area in the neighborhood and say, okay, find your way home. I know you remember. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. he would always, and he said that from that, he just never had a I cannot do kind of attitude.
Mm-hmm. Just always so encouraged to take responsibility for himself or initiative, and you know, to kind of push himself to yeah, to just be able to take care of yourself on your own.
Yeah. Because I remember as a younger adult, I used to always blame my problems on everybody else, you know. It was because of this or because of that, because I grew up this way, you know, because dad wasn't around. Or, you know, we come up with a lot of excuses why we can't do.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be easy to fall into that.
Yeah, especially when your school system is set up that way. Ramon, I didn't tell you yet. We can now call the show a complete success. You know, I told you my nephew was by the other day.
Yeah.
He actually, through listening to our show and listening to the guests that we've had on the show, has actually started asking the real questions. So,
fill in everybody else with.
Well,
what do you
okay.
mean by
well,
this show becoming a success.
When we first started this show, I told Ramon, I said, you know, for this show to be a success, all we have to do is we have to reach and help one person. I said we can do 500 shows, spend $5,000, do whatever it takes. You know, we'll spend all this time and all this money and all our energy we'll put into this. And all it has to do is help one person, just one. And I will consider this show a complete success.
Yay.
So my nephew actually thanked me for what we're doing. So that in itself made
me. How old is your nephew?
He's 24.
Oh, perfect age.
Yeah.
Perfect age. Hey, Nate, so when are you going to mail me some barbecue chicken?
Ooh. To Japan? I don't know, man.
Dude, just
I'm
jump on one of the ships that fly by all
chicken,
the time.
Dude.
Just jump on one of the ships that fly by all the time.
If we're going to send it all the way to Japan. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's the barbecue. It still hasn't completely stopped, though, man. Even in the snow, you know, we've still been doing it a little bit, and yeah, a little bit here and there, and we've just been eating tons of spicy food since James has been in Hawaii, and he can't normally handle the spice, so you know we're
there you go. While the cat's away, the mice will play.
Yeah, some, you know, the cilantro and the spicy peppers and, you know, so it's been good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's coming home here in a couple
Nate,
days.
Well,
so
we have
really
you online. Any other, because I know you've had a lot of experiences. Any other experiences that you feel like it's worth talking about on the show?
So anything been going on recently over there? You guys had any significant visits? And
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's been really cold. It's, you know, and we've kind of shifted more towards just internal rather than external, not spending a whole lot of time skywatching, you know, just because of the weather or whatever. But, you know, I've been taking a lot of phone calls and or emails or whatever, you know, people are definitely, and from my own experience and what I'm seeing going on, you know, just with myself, you know, it seems that this is kind of a part of the cycle where a lot of people are just going through a lot of difficulties, a lot of challenges, you know, unhealed wounds and traumas and stuff are coming up from the past. You know, sometimes it's stuff that we thought that we have already addressed or dealt with, and maybe there's a little bit more there to look at. You know, I know James had kind of written a couple of articles, you know, maybe in the last month that were kind of addressing some of this stuff. You know, we've been seeing a lot of people, you know, having crazy dreams or, you know, feeling like they've been under psychic attack or, you know, dealing with, you know, weird entities, you know, astral or multidimensional or however you want to term it. And so, you know, I guess I would just say that, you know, to anybody that's listening, it feels like, you know, that they can resonate with that or they've been facing challenges along those lines, that to just know that, you know, it's you're not alone, and that it's a good chance for you to step into your power and just do some introspection on yourself and, you know, take some time, do some healing for yourself, learn some form, some technique of clearing. You know, there's kind of a basic recipe that we use at the ranch, but there's a number of different techniques that one could utilize, you know, using some sort of mantra or working with your energy body or, you know, calling on your guides for assistance or just directly pumping up your juice, you know, from your own divine spark.
People got to realize their intention is the key.
Totally, you know, that's something that I've seen kind of over and over again. It's like sometimes, you know, I talk to people about this and it's like, yeah, you know, I've tried to do that in the past and it didn't work. And it's like, all right, well, you know, that's not necessarily a reason to just totally give up on trying to utilize a technique like that or implement that into your life. Like people, I've seen over and over again that people that know that that really have that intention and know that they are connected, you know, to the divine source or to the Tao, however you want to term it, that firmly are aware of their connection to source. That's the key, you know, when it comes to effectively doing a clearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always make sure before we do the show, we do our own. And I guess that's also been part of the success, because every time we do a show, right, Tom, the energy is just...
Every time. We ask for our guidance, and we ask for all those negative influences to go bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. It's intention and faith in yourself and faith in all the powers that are around you to actually listen to you. You know, they do actually listen. They're really there, guys.
Yeah. It's, I would say in all aspects of life, the biggest problem we have is it's fear. You know, your fear. I know a lot of people that don't want to go into astral projection, for example, because they're scared. They don't want to do something they always wanted to do because they're scared. You know, I've met guys who wanted to travel back home in New York who said, "Oh, I wish I could be like you and travel." And I said, "What are you talking about? You make more money than I do. You don't have any kids like I do. You're not even married. I'm married, and you know, we still did it. So you have no attachments. The only thing that's stopping you that didn't stop me is the fear."
Mm-hmm.
And we've all...
Your own limiting mental concept that you... something that you can't do.
Yeah, so once you get rid of that fear, you face it, and you say, "Hey, you don't have any power over me. I got power over me." Things just start flowing for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you from experience. Well, we're coming close to the top of the hour, unfortunately.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks a lot for calling in, Nate.
Yeah, Nate, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying your guys' show, and yeah, man, congratulations, and just keep doing the good work, and man, hope to see both of you guys sooner than later.
Yeah, you'll see me this spring.
Yeah.
Well, when it gets warmer, I'll try to make it over there to that side of the world.
Yeah. Awesome, man.
All right, Nate. Thanks a lot, man.
All right,
appreciate
peace
it.
Peace out, guys.
Thanks, bud. So, well.
All right, Tom.
Yeah. So, I want to make sure everybody knows our website is conscious-tv.com. And you can go there, and also you can check out our page here on BBS and see who we've got coming up. We've got some really interesting interviews coming up. I think next week are we doing Khan next week, correct?
Yes, we're doing Khan, and Khan is I guess you could call him a monk, and he's have a very, very interesting life. I'm not going to give everything about him, so I would say go to the website and read up on him. There's also a link to his website, so you can read more about him. We'll be interviewing him. It will be a little slow because he doesn't speak any English, so I have an interpreter, so just be patient with us. We'll be flowing back and forth in two different languages.
Yeah. It should be interesting.
And you can also listen to all the old shows if you go to www.conscious-tv.com. You can go right click on the archive page, and anybody that we interview, you can listen to. Let's see what else we have, Tom.
I think that's about it. We're going to sign off here with our favorite quote here. Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
And I just want to give a big thank you to Inner Soul. It's the right time.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I've had to straight ahead the trend from uptown. You know my sound is major. I know you like the lyrics, kid, so just do me your favor. Tell the tech to turn my dad up. This is a pack up. Hey, I don't back up. Because I wanna dive in and swim in the mentals. Where your thoughts roam. I wanna make your dough my home. Therefore, you'll never be alone. But when you hear my song, sing along with the rhythm. Cause I got made the fat beats that I get from. Yes, it's the ears, and I'm checking out the blunt one. Maybe I can have one. Maybe I can cut one. Chill. I'm one with God, brothers. It's hard to stay straight. Until you're scared straight, and then you can't wait to get out. Then you shout, damn, I got freedom. Unless it's being taught, black man, I know you need one. The right time to make you free your mind. Wake up. Tell the artist not to be creative. You see, the motive is to control more than this. Hitless enough to send the soul, and I bring much more than your average MC. Please give me a break, man. Let me be me so I can be free to do what I please. See what I see, be who I be.
And yo, act like me.
I got the rhyme and my timing from the center. Lyrics from the brain, even when I start to enter. The beats I'm bending, the vibes I'm sending, it's pleasure. Never better. Even though shit is a mess, I never stress in touch with. Therefore, I'm blessed with the armor. Tell your mama, but kill the drama.